Echo and Harper Audio present How Money Became Dangerous, the inside story of our turbulent relationship with modern finance by Christopher Varelas and Dan Stone, read by Roger Wayne. Prologue. Zero balance. If you learn how money moves, you can understand how the world works. Ann Richards, former governor of Texas, in conversation as reported by a colleague. The world of money used to be simple. A person might have both a checking and a savings account, a home mortgage and a car loan, and maybe some basic investments in the markets like municipal bonds or shares in Sears, Roebuck, or General Motors. But rarely were a person's finances more complex than that. Wall Street wasn't particularly controversial. The financial services industry didn't have a reputation for being impersonal, selfish, and reckless. Most of the time, it was seen as just another facet of a functioning and growing society. That all started to change rapidly in the 1980s. As our financial system became increasingly complicated, with each evolution moving the world of money further beyond the understanding of the general public. Wall Street began to feel like an adversary, an enigmatic and potentially dangerous force controlled by slippery bankers whom we didn't trust. After the mortgage crisis, collapse of banks, and Great Recession of 2008, our wariness boiled over into anger. The system no longer seemed to be working for the average person. How did we get here? In just one generation, how did our financial system become so labyrinthine and loaded with peril as we became more disconnected from its workings? Why do we care so little that the national debt is more than $20 trillion and growing? Why do we care so little that our government employee pension system is massively underfunded, with the gap growing wider each year? Why do we care so little that we have grossly insufficient funding for promised Social Security and healthcare benefits? Why do we care so little that student debt stands at $1.5 trillion, weighing down millions of graduates who can't find jobs worthy of their degrees and are incapable of repaying what they owe? Is it really the case that we don't care about these looming crises? Or is it that we feel shackled by our lack of understanding and connection? Whatever the reason, the result is the same. As the world of money continues to become a bigger and bigger part of our lives, we understand it less and less. Everyone talks about sustainability these days, in regard to the environment, or food, or economic matters, or cultural and social issues. But no one is talking about the sustainability of our financial system, despite the fact that it occupies such a prominent place in our human existence and future well-being. This is the most important discussion that we are not having. If we stand by, remaining disengaged from the world of money, we are headed to a dangerous place. Regardless of your background or occupation, this will affect you in your lifetime, most assuredly altering your children's quality of life. It is imperative that we increase our knowledge and engagement with the financial world and change the current trajectory. Otherwise, it will end badly for us all. My first exposure to the financial world was in 1970 in the second grade, when Mr. Sampson, the manager of Springfield Savings and Loan, came to speak to our class about banks. There was nothing exotic about Mr. Sampson. He wore a gray suit, red tie, and shiny grown-up shoes. He circled the room with a stack of booklets, passing one to each of us. On the cover, the logo of the bank was printed, along with a place for me to scrawl my name. I flipped through its pages of unfilled lines and boxes, each page backed by the ghosted portrait of a U.S. president. As we inspected our booklets, Mr. Sampson instructed us to pull out the dimes we'd been asked to bring to class. Mine had been burning a hole in my pocket all day. "Those dimes," he said, "are your first deposit."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?